Welcome to Chip Health with Dr. Hans Diehl. On today's broadcast, we'll discover effective ways to be healthy by choice and not by chance. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at the Complete Health Improvement programs offered across the country and around the world. The results are proven. The benefits, priceless. I'm your Chip Health host, Charles Mills. Food. That word brings almost the same reaction in many people as the word home. Food tends to be the central theme of our very existence. Life is what takes place between meals. Now, I don't have a problem with people loving food. I just want them to make sure that the food they love has the potential to love them back. Our guest today is Dr. Linda Nelson. She is one of the longest-running CHIP directors, a core member of the Adventist CHIP Association board and staff, and a much-appreciated medical advisor to the CHIP program. I'm happy to have her on our show today. Dr. Nelson, welcome back to CHIP Health.
Thank you so much.
Now, last time on this program, you were telling us some of the ways that how we eat affects the outcome of the food that we eat. It really makes a difference, and there are areas that we are not even aware of where we are potentially overeating, where we are rewarding ourselves with food that's not in our best interest, where we are eating to cover emotions that are running just under the surface, where we are eating out of habit, we are mindlessly eating, and that is causing us to have an obesity epidemic in this country and runaway chronic diseases, lifestyle diseases like we've never seen before. Now, let's dig into this a little bit further here. There are reasons why we are mindlessly eating and overeating, and some of them are psychological. I can't help but think that the word supersize is involved. Tell us about that.
Well, supersize definitely is, and I think we're seeing a little backlash from that nowadays because we're getting the mini snacks coming in. But we're still used to buying things in supersize. Interesting study that was done. People were handed spaghetti and spaghetti sauce to make for supper. Some of them were handed pound-sized boxes. Some of them were handed, I believe, two-pound boxes with more spaghetti sauce. The family that had received the larger boxes actually ended up cooking and eating more spaghetti than those that cooked out of the smaller boxes and totally unaware of what they had done. But if we're always cooking out of supersized boxes, we're going to be mindlessly eating more calories, being totally unaware of that.
Now, weren't we told to eat everything that's on our plate when we're handed a plate of food, or in this case, a box of food? Didn't our moms and dads tell us, now you eat it up so it's all clean?
And I heard that from my mother, and she went further and said, I'll send the leftovers to the starving children in China.
And you said, go ahead, package it up, send it. I don't care.
Just about. I have no problem with a parent encouraging their children to eat all of the healthy food on their plate. But what I do think we need to realize is we need to make sure the serving sizes are appropriate. And let's not reward them for eating the good with something that sends their caloric intake over the top for the day.
Now, you say appropriate. Let's talk about that for a moment. Everybody's different. You have an active child. You have a passive child. You have a growing child. You have a child that's not growing. That appropriateness is going to change. How do we measure that? How would you recommend that we decide what is appropriate? Can we depend on the kid saying, Mommy, I'm hungry, and Mommy, I'm full? Is that appropriate enough?
I would probably take the Mommy, I'm full, especially if you are running a household where you can say, that's fine, Johnny, if you're full for this meal, you may be excused. There will be no more food until the next meal. That will prevent the snacking in between meals, which is usually junk food, high caloric food. When Johnny comes whining because he didn't eat enough at lunch that, mommy, I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's appropriate to listen to a child who says, mommy, I'm full, as long as you're sure you will not reward the early getting down from the table by more eating before it's appropriate at the next meal.
You know, I came across something like this during my days as a flight instructor. By the way, Dr. Linda Nelson's husband was one of my flight instructors way back in college, and I became a flight instructor as well at the very same airport that he was instructing me. Well, what I noticed is that when I had a heavy schedule of students, and I had to go from flight to flight to flight, and dinner time came, I ate just enough so that my hunger pains went away. I wasn't full. It did not satisfy me, but at least the pains were gone. Is this what's happening at some of our homes and some of our supper tables? The kids are eating enough to get them through to the next snack? Is that what's happening?
Precisely.
Hmm.
And this is another whole area that I think we could look at some point is what is happening to our homes and to our eating. Too much of it is going on the road now,
yeah.
So to speak. But that may be getting away from the topic that we had for the day.
No, actually, it's actually right, because, you know, I would eat this. I would grab my little sandwich or drink my little juice there, standing up, ready to go someplace. And again, all it did was sort of edge the hunger pains. It didn't fill me up. And the bottom line was, a couple hours later, I was hungry again and did it again. And probably over the course of that afternoon, I ate more in those little meals that I was eating throughout, because I kept getting hungry, than if I had taken the time at noon to sit down and have myself a halfway decent meal. So I was actually eating more. Is this something that's happening also in our society?
I think you're very, very right about that, especially since the stuff we tend to grab as we're going is usually highly caloric and very lacking a lot of the nutrients that our body needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I know it's been a big thing throughout the country today that, oh, we need to eat multiple small meals. Actually, some of the newer studies coming out are showing that it's much more healthy to eat a scheduled 2 to 3 meals a day and eat well at those meals. And if you are eating appropriately and making wise food choices at those meals, you will be well satisfied until time for the next one.
All right, very good. We're talking with Dr. Linda Nelson about eating today. She's one of the burdens in her heart is mindless eating. She wants to make people aware of how they're eating, not only what they're eating. That's very important. And the CHIP program is all about eating and exercise and et cetera. But not only what they're eating, but how they're eating it. And, you know, we're fighting a real battle here, because advertising in today's world makes us think about food, and it makes us hungry. I have never seen such good-looking food than what they show on television screens, especially in the middle of the evening. Is this a problem with you too, Dr. Nelson?
Well, if I sat down to watch TV, yes, it probably would be.
Now, there's a lesson right there. Don't watch so much television.
Right. Quite frankly, I don't watch television because I don't like all the advertising.
Yes.
But yes, it definitely. And when we see food, it turns our minds toward thinking about food and gives us the desire for that food, often until we've been thinking about it for so long that when we finally have a chance to get food, we actually overeat or eat more than we would have if we just were presented with that food at the table.
You make an interesting case in line with this of even what we call food has a tendency to make us overeat. Share with us some ideas here of how the title of the food can actually make us have some mindless eating.
Some very interesting studies that have been done in restaurants. you know, red beans and rice are a staple in my home.
Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful food. But if you go to a restaurant, they're not going to label it red beans and rice. They're going to call it something like traditional Cajun red beans with rice. You might have a seafood fillet, or a succulent Italian seafood filet. They found that the people who were presented with menus that had these exotic-sounding names on them, they actually sold 27% more food, and the customers rated those foods higher, even though the traditional red beans and rice and seafood filet were exactly the same food that were served under the other names. And people went away with a more favorable attitude toward the restaurant.
Oh, my.
So what we call foods, the other place that I think we see this is on the front of packaging in the grocery stores.
Yes, yes.
Another favorite author of mine, Jeff Novick, points out, or one of his cardinal rules is never, ever believe anything you see on the front of a package. Because advertisers know how to get you to buy food. They will picture a sugar water mixture as a fruit drink and have pictures of fruit all over the front. When there's no fruit in the drink, there's only artificial flavors, and it's sugar water. But people will pick it up and think it's healthy food because of the pictures all over the front. And this is a particular problem, I believe, for our children, because they may not be able to read, but they will be caught by the beautiful pictures.
Well, you have identified a real problem here, because advertisers want you to buy the product, and they're not really out there to make you healthy. Let's just face it, the advertisers are not there to make sure that you don't have to see the doctor as often as you have in the past. They're not there to increase your health index. They're there to sell a product. So we need to educate ourselves about food. I think that's what I hear you saying, Dr. Nelson. We need to educate ourselves about food and what food really is. Am I on the right track here?
Yes, okay, you definitely are. And I like to tell people the best food to buy is the food that doesn't have to have labels on it.
That would be our produce section, folks. That would be the items there that don't have a food label, don't need one, because if they had a food label, they would be so large that you wouldn't be able to see the food because of the label. All the good nutrients in that broccoli and in that cauliflower and in that Brussels sprout, you would not see the product because of the wonderful nutrients listed in that. So buy foods without labels. Good idea. We'll take a short break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about mindless eating and one of the ways that our eyes are fooled to the point where our stomachs become sick. Let's learn about that on our return, so everybody stay right where you are. Breathing air polluted by heavy traffic can lower not only your children's level of health, but their IQ as well. Heavy exposure to black carbon, a toxin emitted in exhaust fumes, particularly diesel, has been linked to a 3.4-point average drop in IQ. There are respiratory-related dangers as well. What can you do? How about relocating to the country or finding a home away from busy streets? Oh, by the way, an inside air cleaner can help as well.
Concerned about those extra pounds, high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, depression, and heart disease? I'm Dr. Hans Dehl, inviting you to join the people in the know and enroll in the next CHIP program in your area. It can make all the difference.
For more information about the Complete Health Improvement Program and to transform CHIP's proven results into priceless benefits for you and your family, visit chiphealth.org. Welcome back to the program. Our guest today is Dr. Linda Nelson. She is very involved with the CHIP program as well as the CHIP Association, and the website you just heard there in the break, www.chiphealth.org, is the website of the Adventist Chip Association. And from there, you can jump off to many good places that you can learn about the CHIP program and the resources made available to you. That's www.chiphealth.org. Dr. Nelson, we're talking about mindless eating today, and most people say, I don't mindlessly eat. I think about eating. Well, yeah, up to a point, but what we've discovered in our conversation is many times the mind doesn't know what the mouth is doing, and also sometimes the eyes are involved. You say that we need to believe our stomach and not our eyes. Tell us about that. Why did you put that down on a list of things we need to talk about today?
Well, very interesting. Our eyes don't always tell us the truth.
Hmm. Seeing is not always believing, you're saying.
We should not believe everything we see.
Okay.
That's right. College students went through a line where they could fill their juice glass for breakfast, you know, put however much juice they wanted in it. Hmm. They were given glasses that held the exact same quantity. However, some of them received tall, thin glasses, and some of them had short, fat glasses.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the line, their glasses were weighed and measured, and students were all asked how much they thought they had put into their glasses. They all said about 7 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting. The tall, thin glasses got 5.5 ounces of juice. Those who filled short, fat glasses actually put closer to 9.5 ounces, 20% plus more. And even experienced bartenders who have to pour that magical 1.5 ounce in the shot glasses, when their measuring tools were taken away and they were given tall, thin glasses or short, fat glasses, they were experienced at pouring the 1.5 ounces. Those who had the tall, thin glasses got it pretty much on, but the bartenders who had the short, fat glasses tended to pour 20% more unwittingly. So nobody is immune to thinking that they're putting less in their glass than they really are if they have a short, fat glass. I think the same thing happens to our plates. Did you realize that back in our grandmother's day, their dinner plates were more like our salad plates are today? 10 inches was the common size. Today, we've moved to 12-inch plates. That 12-inch plate will hold 25% more food. And you're going to want to fill that dinner plate.
Sure.
Well,
sure.
If you're filling that dinner plate with 25% more calories every night, over the period of a year, that's adding up to a lot of pounds.
It certainly is. Well, this is amazing stuff. Even as you say these things, I realize that there are things that we can do as eaters to try to fool our stomachs into thinking that they're getting more than they are. Because the bottom line is here, we want to take good care of our bodies. We don't want to overstuff them. We want to give them the right kind of food. We don't want to be fooled by it. So it sounds like I'm hearing you say that it might be advantageous to us to go back to the smaller plates, to go back to the tall, thinner glasses. Let's use what we know that's causing the problems to our advantage and turn the tables on this thing so we could be healthier. Am I on the right track here?
You are definitely on the right track. The other thing that we can do is use less variety. Another interesting study, and this one just totally amazed me, M&Ms. Now, I know chippers don't usually think of using M&Ms. As Dr. Deal says, one a day is fine.
but who can eat one, right?
Who would eat one? If you give people M&Ms with multiple colors in a bowl, and that's the way traditional M&Ms came.
Sure.
You will eat more than if you have a bowl of M&Ms that only has 2 or maybe 3 colors.
Amazing.
That's totally mindless. We don't realize that that happens to us with variety. So just serving less variety at a meal is advantageous. I mean, how many of us have gone through a church potluck line?
Oh, boy.
Or to one of the all-you-can-eat buffets where there was seemingly an endless variety? We tend to overeat at those kinds of places. Whereas at the family table, we can pull it back to a more reasonable variety and have our whole grain, maybe a legume dish, a bean dish of some kind, and then plenty of vegetables and a nice green salad, and there's not that variety there. Another thing that I found very interesting is the mother that would serve up the main dish, you know, that whole grain, whether it was spaghetti with some, should I say, tofu meatballs on this program.
Good, good.
Serves that up, but then puts the vegetables and salad on the table so that if you're going to have seconds, the only thing on the table are the less caloric dense foods, but still foods that are very high in nutritional value. So if you want more on your plate, then you're eating those foods that are not going to add the calories.
And following along what you said earlier, I would give these foods some pretty exotic names. It's not broccoli you're eating. It's Eastern Mediterranean succulent broccoli. And it's not carrots. It's rabbit-endorsed, wonderful, delicious ground roots. How's that sound?
We'll put you on the staff of the most exotic restaurant in New York.
Very good.
I'm not sure my kids would have bought that, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I would either. Anyway, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do because you know it's the right thing to do. And that brings us to a very important point, and I know it's a real burden on your heart, Dr. Linda Nelson, and that is, this is hard. Some of what you're saying here for us to do, we sometimes feel pretty, we don't have the power in us to do this. Is there some place we can turn? Is there help we can look for to help us make the right choices when our eyes and our stomachs and our minds and our emotions and our reward centers are telling us another thing to do? How can we help ourselves?
Yes, we've talked a little bit about this before, haven't we?
Yes.
Definitely, I've got to get away from the family table here. I'm still thinking about your succulent rabbit roots.
I gotcha!
as you're going through your day and that, you know, that dish of candy is sitting there.
Yeah.
By the way, if you have a candy dish, please make it opaque, because if it's a clear crystal dish, you'll eat more than if it's opaque and you can't see the candy.
Okay.
Where can you turn? Obviously, if you've done a CHIP program, you have some friends out there that you can call.
Mm-hmm.
You have other items that are on your list of things to do today. You can turn away from the food and go get busy on your to-do list. But my favorite source, and I think this is where you were pointing, is plug into that power that we know each one of us has available, and that's to the power source of our Savior, who has given all for us and promises that we can do all things through Him, that He will answer us exceedingly abundantly above what we can even think when we get to those tough spots and we need help.
So it might be to our advantage, or it will be to our advantage, when we are seeing that candy dish and when we're seeing that second helping and when we're seeing that big chocolate cake or bowl of ice cream, it might be time to whisper a prayer. Do I hear you saying that?
I would even suggest that you might need to say it out loud, because that way your ears are hearing as well as your mind thinking.
Hmm. You have another sense involved here then.
Precisely.
Okay. Saying it out loud. You say, let's come up with a sample prayer here, Dr. Linda Nelson. What could be, I mean, some people may not be used to praying to God all that much. And God, that has no problem with that. He understands your thoughts and He understands your groanings, as the Bible says. What could be a good sample prayer that someone could use when they want to have something that's very unhealthy for them and is staring them in the face?
God, I need help. And then if you listen to God, I think he would probably say to you, walk away.
That's all that's necessary, isn't it? God, I need help. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're asking for. He knows what needs to be done. You don't have to explain it to him. You don't have to surprise him with it. God is totally aware of your needs, and God is totally aware of the temptation you are facing, and he has the answer there. And he gives you that answer. I'm hearing you saying he gives you that answer as impressions, as ideas, as plans, as guidelines that just sort of come into your being, and if you follow them, you're on the right track. That's beautiful.
And I think after you've talked to God, hopefully you will have some friends that you can call on the phone and celebrate a victory or continue talking to them to get your mind away from what you really want to do.
Let's make sure that there is not one person listening to the program right now who is without help. Dr. Nelson, not only are you a physician, but you are also a Christian, and you are a believer in God's power. Would you now pray for our listeners, especially that one listener out there who is saying, I struggle with this. I can't help it. I am helpless when it comes to food choices. Would you pray for that person right now so that God has an open door into that person's mind?
Sure. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for being there when we need you. We are so thankful that the ruler of the universe will listen to even me, this tiny speck down on this little world. I need help right now. I want to make choices that are not best for my body. Give me something better in its place. Because I know you're a God that doesn't only want to take away and leave a vacuum in my life, but let me know how I could fill that vacuum with something better that you have to offer. I pray for the strength and the power to take my hand out of the cookie jar or out of the M&Ms or wherever it might be right now and lead me to make mindful choices for what I am eating each and every day. Thank you so much for hearing and answering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer. And listener, that is for you. Keep that in mind because God is listening for you. He is leaning forward out of heaven, listening to that prayer from your lips. Thank you, Linda Nelson. Linda Nelson is a CHIP director and a medical advisor to the program. Thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Nelson. We appreciate your wonderful words of wisdom and your spiritual guidance. Thank you.
It has been a privilege.
And listener, once again, the website where you can learn more about the CHIP program, perhaps coming to your area, also more about resources available to you to help you make that transition to a healthier, happier life, www.chiphealth.org, chiphealth.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Linda Nelson inviting you to begin enjoying health by choice, not by chance. Goodbye, everyone.